Second Chronicles this morning, and I'm going to read a couple verses from Second Chronicles, and then I'm going to get right into my message. It's good to have some visitors here with us this morning. Thank you for coming. We are blessed to have you and excited about you being here this morning. We'll welcome you. And many of us are recovering from last night, and appreciate everybody who came and helped last night and at the harvest party and participated and just everybody pitched in. I mean, in the preparation and the getting everything ready, and then during and helping with all the games and keeping the kids in line and then the cleanup afterwards. It seemed like everybody got involved and helped, and it was just a wonderful blessing. And I think that's the best harvest party that we've had since I've been here, anyway. And so praise the Lord, and it was exciting. And we got to give the gospel to some young children that I had not seen come before, and also to some parents that I had not seen here in this church before. So praise the Lord, and we just pray that the Holy Spirit would now work in their hearts and bring them back again. But it's good to see you here this morning, and I'm sure many of you, many of these kids are all sugared up on candy and whatnot, so I'm going to try and be as short as I can before they get too active. And that's the fun part about doing something like the harvest party, just giving the kids all the candy and whatnot. And it's a real blessing. My kids have two big bags full of candy at home, and they can't wait to get home and tear into those bags. And so they want me to preach short this morning, and I'm going to try, but they better be good, or they're not going to get any candy after church. Right, guys? All right. I remember a preacher telling me, or I heard a preacher preaching. He told a story about him and this other preacher. He was a guest speaker, and this pastor went to visit a woman at the hospital, an elderly woman at the hospital. And the pastor said, "Why don't you come along with me, preacher, and visit this lady? She's a dear saint of God." And so he went. He said, "Okay, I'll go with you." And they got up in there. And of course, the visiting pastor, he didn't know this lady very well. And the pastor, of course, he knew her, and he talked with her. And he's just kind of standing there in the hospital room as the pastor talked to the lady in the bed. And he noticed a bowl of peanuts next to the bed. And he was, hungry. He hadn't had any breakfast yet. And so he kind of snuck over there, and he took a handful of peanuts and just, popped them in his mouth as he was listening, or he was standing there not doing much talking. And he ate that handful of peanuts, and he went back for another handful and another. And pretty soon that whole bowl of peanuts was gone, and it was time for them to leave. And the preacher felt bad. He's realized that he just ate that whole bowl of peanuts without really even knowing it. And so he said, "Pastor, I ate that whole bowl of peanuts. I gotta tell this lady. I gotta apologize to her." And he said, "Well, you do it, whatever the Lord leads you to do." And so he went back into the room and he said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry. I ate your bowl of peanuts, and they're gone. There's not one left. And I'm sorry." And she said, "Well, don't worry about it. That's fine." And she said, I can't eat those peanuts anyway. I don't have any teeth." And he said, "Well, why do you keep a bowl of peanuts by your bedside if you can't eat peanuts?" And she said, "Oh, I just like to suck the chocolate off of them, and then I put them back in the bowl." So you kids better be careful. You better check that candy. Make sure it's right. I don't know, but you probably never look at a peanut again in the same light, I'm sure. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And this message is primarily to young people, to young adults, children. But some of you adults might want to take some notes this morning. And I hope that it's a blessing to you. And it's been something that the Lord's been speaking to my heart about through my personal study, and also some of the messages that have been preached in the last couple of weeks, not by me, but by other men. I want to be faithful to preach what the Lord's laid upon my heart this morning, what He's been dealing with me about. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, let's read starting in verse number 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to preach, to, Lord, proclaim your word to these dear people, Lord. And I know as I stand before you, Lord, this morning, and as I stand before these dear people, Lord, we both know, Lord, that I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. And Lord, I just pray, God, that you touch, Lord, my lips and my life. And Lord, I pray that you would help the words that I speak this morning to be life and to be, Lord, encouragement and to be words of edification and exhortation, Lord, this morning. I just pray that you hide me behind the shadows of a bloody cross this morning. And Lord, cover me, Lord, in the blood. And I pray that you'd use me, Lord, as I preach this message, Lord, the message that you've laid upon my heart. And may it, Lord, be well received, Lord, and not as the words of a man, Lord, but as your words. And I pray, God, that everything that's said and done this morning would bring honor and glory to you, because you are worthy. In your name we pray. Amen. The story of Amaziah, king of Judah, is recorded for us here in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, as well as in 2 Kings chapter 14. Now, Amaziah was the son of Joash, the king. And after the tragic death of his father in chapter 24, Amaziah, at the age of 29, begins his reign in Jerusalem. The Bible says there in verse 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but watch it, not with a perfect heart. Not with a perfect heart. And I'm going to preach this morning with God's help on that very subject, doing right, but not with a perfect heart. Amaziah did right, but he didn't do right with a perfect heart. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 14 and verse 2, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says there, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, yet not like David his father. He did according to all the things as Joash his father did. Now, we know that David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible tells us that. And yes, David messed up at times in his life, but I think it's safe to say that David did right and followed the Lord with a perfect heart. And by the way, when David did mess up, when he did get out of the will of God, when he did sin, he acknowledged his sin, he admitted his guilt, and he got his heart right with God. And if you don't believe me, read Psalm 51 and you'll find out. David was very brokenhearted about the sin that he had committed, and he wanted to have God create in him a clean heart and renew a right spirit within him. Joash, Amaziah's father, on the other hand, did not follow in the footsteps of David. Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign in Jerusalem. Think about that, just 7 years old, just a little boy, and being king over a nation. And the Bible says he began to reign when he was 7 years old, and he reigned in Jerusalem there. And the Bible says that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. This is recorded for us in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. The Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. But when Jehoiada, his friend and mentor, died, the Bible says he hearkened unto the princes of Judah and served idols instead of the Lord. Whereupon God sent prophets to testify against their sin, but the Bible says they would not give ear. Now you would think that Joash would have enough sense to listen to the word of the Lord, but he would not hearken. The Bible says he would not hear. So finally God sent the prophet Zechariah, Jehoiada's own son, to warn the people that unless they repented of their sin, they would be forsaken by God and would not prosper. And again, you would think that Joash would have listened to what the son of his friend and mentor had to say, but instead of heeding the prophet's warning, the Bible says that they conspired against Zechariah and stoned him with stones according to the commandment of the king. Joash had Zechariah killed for speaking out against the sin that he was involved in. And because his heart was not perfect with the Lord, Amaziah, his son, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now on the surface, it appeared that Amaziah was a true worshiper of Jehovah. I mean, he went to the temple and he involved himself in the ministry of the temple and he got involved in the service of the sanctuary, but and he gave his tithes and he tolerated the prophets and the priests. But on the inside, in his heart of hearts, he was not at all serious about serving the Lord. And what we see in the life of Amaziah in this chapter is the end result of a person doing right, but not with a perfect heart. And I want to point out to you this morning several characteristics that will begin to exhibit themselves in the life of someone who does right, but not with a perfect heart. Their heart is not in it. First of all, when a person does right but not with a perfect heart, they will begin to exhibit a poor attitude when it comes to obedience. They will begin to exhibit a poor attitude when it comes to obedience. In verses 5 through 10, and I'm not going to take the time to read these verses, but Amaziah prepares to attack the Edomites. And because his army was not great in numbers, instead of trusting God to give him the victory and without seeking counsel from the Lord, he decides to hire the army of Israel to fight with him, and he pays them 100 talents of silver. Now, whereupon God sent a prophet to him, and this prophet tells him not to go through with this plan of his because the Lord was not with the army of Israel, and if he allowed them to follow him into battle, they would for sure suffer defeat. And Amaziah's response to the prophet's warning in verse 9 was, "But what about the 100 talents of silver that I've already paid these men to go and fight with me?" Notice that Amaziah's response to the prophet was an objection. He objects to the prophet's counsel at first. He says, "Hey, but what about the money? What about my 100 talents of silver? I already paid these guys in advance. They're supposed to go fight with me." And the man of God says, "Hey, don't worry about the money, Amaziah. God is able to give you much more than this." Because Amaziah had backed himself into a corner as a result of his foolish decision to hire the army of Israel without first seeking counsel from the Lord, he's more worried about having to swallow the 100 talents of silver that he paid these men in advance than he is about him and his men going into battle and getting killed. And finally he says, "Okay, I'll do it God's way." And he separates the army of Israel from his army, and he sends them home, and he goes out and he fights against the Edomites, and he wins the battle. God gives him the victory. You say, "That's great, that's wonderful. He obeyed." Now watch this. Meanwhile, the men of Israel, they weren't at all happy with Amaziah for sending them home. They got to keep their money, but they didn't get to fight, and they were a little bit unhappy, and they were a little bit bitter against Amaziah for sending them packing. And on their way back home, the Bible says, they attacked some of the cities along the coast of Judah. They killed a bunch of people and they took much spoil. Say, why did God allow that to happen? Why would God allow a terrible thing like that to happen? After all, Amaziah did the right thing. I mean, he obeyed, didn't he? Yes, he did obey, but his heart was not perfect. He exhibited a poor attitude when he was called upon to obey, and that's why God allowed the army of Israel to attack and spoil the coasts of Judah. And listen, when God calls upon us to obey, we had better obey, and we had better obey with the right attitude. God is not just looking for outward obedience in the lives of His people. He's looking for obedience from the heart. Parents, we need to train our children to respond to our instruction with the right heart attitude. Because if our children grow up thinking that they can just get away with an outward obedience, and that an outward obedience is all that is required, and it's not in their hearts to do right, when they get out on their own, everything that we've taught them not to do, they're going to do. And everything that we've taught them to do, they're going to not do. Amaziah did the right thing. He obeyed. He did what God told him to do, but his heart was not in it. He had a poor attitude when he was called upon to obey. Another characteristic that's exhibited in the life of a person who, like Amaziah, does right but not with a perfect heart is perverse affections. Perverse affections. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. Immediately after God gives him the victory over the Edomites, Amaziah chooses to worship the gods of the people that he had just defeated in battle. Now, it's one thing to worship the gods of those who have conquered you in battle. But Amaziah was so perverse in his affections because his heart was not right with God, he ended up worshiping the idols of those he had conquered in battle. Gods who were not able to protect and help their own worshipers. And you talk about twisted. You talk about dumb. You talk about rocks for brains. Amaziah knew that idolatry was a sin. He knew better than that, but because he did right, but not with a perfect heart. Because he thought that an outward display of spirituality was all that was required, perverse affections took over his life. See, a person may be able to keep the sin in their life hidden for a while, but eventually what's in their heart is going to come out, and those perverse affections will begin to manifest themselves. Up until this point in Amaziah's life, his true self had not been revealed. But because his heart had not been perfect with the Lord and he was never really serious about serving the Lord, he is now living in open sin and idolatry and rebellion against God. Perverse affections had completely taken over his life, whereas before he did right, even though his heart was not perfect. Now doing right was no longer even an option for him. And I hope and pray that I never get to that place in my life where I have no desire to do what is right. We're doing the right thing. It's not even a consideration. I hope and pray my children never get to that place in their lives when they decide that they're going to do wrong and doing right is not even an option for them. I don't want them to do right just because Dad says they have to. I want them to do right because they love God. I want them to do right because it's in their hearts to do right. May God help us to do right because it's in our hearts to please Him. Because if our hearts are not perfect before Him, it's just a matter of time before those perverse affections will begin to take over our lives. A person who does right but not with a perfect heart will have a poor attitude. A person who does right but not with a perfect heart will have perverse affections. Thirdly, a person who does right but not with a perfect heart, like Amaziah, will have problems with authority. Look at verses 15 and 16. The Bible says, "Wherefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and rightly so. And he sent him unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people, which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? And it came to pass, as he talked with him." Now that's a reasonable question, amen? That's a reasonable question for the prophet to ask the king. But look what it says in verse 16. "It came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee because thou hast done this and hast not hearkened unto my counsel." After Amaziah had forsaken the Lord to worship and to serve the gods of Edom, God sends him a prophet to rebuke him, and the king tells the prophet to forbear. In other words, right in the middle of the prophet's message to the king says, shut up. Be quiet. I don't want to hear anymore. He said, who are you that you should be speaking to me in such a way? You are not one of my counselors. You're not one of my advisors. Who do you think you are giving me advice and telling me what to do? It's my life and I'm going to live it how I choose. And if I want to worship other gods, then I'm going to do it. It's none of your business, so you better stop right there if you know what's good for you. Now, where did he get that kind of an attitude from? Remember back in chapter 24, Joash, Amaziah's father, had Zechariah stoned for his preaching against the sin of idolatry. You see, Joash had a problem with authority, and because he refused to hearken to the message of the prophet, and because he went against the man of God and conspired against him, the Bible says, his son Amaziah, who was a child at the time, grew up thinking he didn't have to listen to the prophet. I think we better switch. Let me turn this off. No? Just switch? Okay. We don't want that. Well, you know, the devil, he's trying to slow me down here. So please bear with me. Where was I talking about? The prophet coming to Amaziah and warning him, and because Joash had a problem with authority. Amaziah grew up thinking that he didn't have to listen to the prophet, and he had a problem with authority here. And I'm reminded of the story in 2 Kings chapter 2 when Elisha the prophet was mocked by the little children on his way to Bethel. And they made fun of his bald head, and I can relate to that. But they said to him, they said, "Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head." And about that time, Elisha turned around and cursed them. And the Bible says two she-bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of those kids. Now, where did those sweet little kids learn to disrespect the man of God like that? Where did they get that from? I'll tell you where they got it from. They got it from their parents. They heard their parents running their mouth about the prophet. They heard their parents mock the man of God and call him an old bald-headed goat. And because they heard their parents disrespecting the man of God, they disrespected the man of God. And Amaziah disrespected the prophet, told the prophet to be quiet, to forbear, to hold his peace, because he had a problem with authority. And you show me a person who has a problem with authority, and I'll show you a person who's not right with God, whose heart is not right with God and not perfect before God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, "Obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you." Amaziah had a problem with authority. He wouldn't listen to the prophet, to what the man of God had to say. And look what the prophet told him in verse 16. He said, "Because thou hast done this thing and hast not hearkened unto my counsel, I know God hath determined to destroy thee." Right there you think God, that Amaziah would have woke up and said, "Oh boy, I'm in trouble now. I better get right." But he didn't. The prophet said to the king, you want me to shut up? I'll shut up. I'll forbear. But I want you to know, O king, that God is going to destroy you because you would not get your heart right. What does the Bible say in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1 about he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy? See, I know this is a hard message. I know this is a difficult message. Hey, it's difficult for you to listen. It's difficult for me to preach, amen, a message like this. But I'm telling you what, this thing about doing right but not with a perfect heart is something that's real. And our kids are growing up in our churches, and they're listening to the preaching, and they're doing right, and they're submitting, but they're not going, when they get out of the church and when they get away from their parents, they're doing everything that we taught them against. This thing about doing right with a perfect heart is a serious thing. Another characteristic that evidences itself in the life of Amaziah will evidence itself in the life of a person who does right but not with a perfect heart is pride in abundance. Pride in abundance. Look at verses 17 through 20. The Bible says, "Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz." This is not the same Joash talked about in chapter 24. This is not Amaziah's father. This is another Joash, the king of Israel. "And he sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, 'Come, let us see one another in the face.' And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, 'The thistle that was in Lebanon sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, Give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trode down the thistle. Thou sayest, Lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thy heart lifteth thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee?' But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God, that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom." Instead of taking godly advice from the prophet, who was sent by God to show him the right way, Amaziah listened to some bad advice. And he went and challenged the king of Israel, Joash. You see, when a person is not willing to receive wise counsel, that leaves only one other option. And Amaziah took counsel from the wrong crowd, the crowd that stroked his ego, the crowd that encouraged him in his sin and idolatry and rebellion against God. And in verses 18 and 19, Joash tried to discourage Amaziah from doing such a foolish thing. He said, "Hey, your heart is lifted up because you defeated the Edomites, but you better not bring that over here, because if you do, you're going to get hurt. Don't come picking a fight with me. Just leave me alone. I'll leave you alone." But because of Amaziah's pride, he would not listen to the words of Joash. The Bible says in verse 20, he would not hear. Because of the abundance of pride in his heart, he would not back down. He would not admit that he was wrong. And so he went up against Joash, against his better judgment. And the Bible says in verse 22, Judah was put to the worse before Israel. Verse 20 says, it came of God that he might deliver them into the hands of their enemies because they sought after the gods of Edom. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's why I want to do right with a perfect heart, because I know if I do right but not with a perfect heart, my heart is going to be lifted up with pride down the road. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 3, a man's pride will bring him low. Amaziah was brought low because of the abundance of pride in his heart. And it all started when, as a young man, he fell into the trap of pretending to be spiritual and trying to fool everyone into thinking that he was right with God, when in his heart, he was never serious about following the Lord. Amaziah thought he could just get by with an outward conformity to the Lord's commandments. He had convinced himself that that was all that was required, and he left his heart unguarded to be filled with perverse affections and pride in abundance. And let me show you in closing the personal anguish that Amaziah experienced because his heart was not perfect with God. Look at verses 27 and 28 of chapter 25. The Bible says there, this is the end of Amaziah. And look what the Bible says. Now after that time, that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord. They made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. Here was a young man that had all the potential in the world to do good for God, to live for God, to love God, to serve God, to bring revival again to Judah, to Jerusalem, to the temple. But this is the way he ended up. The Bible says they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of David because he turned away from following the Lord, because he did right but not with a perfect heart. Because Amaziah's heart was not right with God, he experienced some personal anguish in his life. And you see, when a person turns away from following the Lord, listen, young people, when a person turns away from following the Lord, they can expect trouble. They can count on hard times. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. I know what I'm talking about this morning because I went through it. Listen, I grew up in a Christian home. I was in church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. I mean, I was in church every time the doors were open practically, and I heard preacher after preacher, message after message. I even surrendered my life to serve God when I was 7 years old. I was saved at the age of 5, and I made the mistake of leaving my heart unguarded. And before long, I started to do right, but not with a perfect heart. And I started to conform and I started to obey, but not with the right heart attitude. And my parents began to see the poor attitude in my heart when it came to obeying them. And they would try to reason with me. And because of the pride in my heart, I would not admit that I was wrong. And I submitted to them. I submitted to them just to keep me off my back, keep them off my back. And mostly because I wanted to eat and a warm place to sleep. Amen. I didn't want to get thrown out on my ear. But I did right, but it was not with a perfect heart. My heart wasn't right with God. And when I finally got out on my own and I got away from the rules and the standards and the influence of my parents and the influence of the Word of God in my life, I began to do those things that I had been taught not to do. And I began to not do the things that I had been taught to do. And that rebellion in my heart began to surface itself, and it began to be open. And I began to experience some of that personal anguish. Nothing went right for me. Everything I tried to do crumbled in my hands. And I thought I was going to do this and do that and have fun and go here and go there and not have any consequences to my disobedience. But I was wrong. God began to deal with me. His hand was heavy upon me. And because of a praying mom and a mom and father, and because they were faithful to pray for me and live the Christian life before me and to be an example to me. Because God continued to send prophets to me to warn me to turn from my ways and to turn back to the Lord. God was merciful to me. And after a time of chastening had passed, God brought me to a crossroads in my life where I got down on my knees and I decided that I was going to do right. And that I got my heart right with Him, and God being my witness this morning, from that day on I've tried to serve Him with a perfect heart. Amaziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. See, doing right is not all there is to living the Christian life. It's a big part of it, amen? But it's not all there is to living the Christian life. There's more to it than that. God wants His children to love and obey Him because that is what is in their hearts to do. Let's bow for prayer. Dear Lord, thank You so much for this time. Thank You, Lord, so much for the Word, the message this morning. I pray, God, this morning that You would give us a desire in our hearts to serve You, to love You, to obey You, to live the Christian life as You've called us to. May it not be because we're forced to. May it not be because we want people to think we're spiritual when we're really not. I pray, God, this morning that You would deal with our hearts. Search our hearts, Lord, I pray. And Lord, I pray that every one of us here this morning would come to that place, that crossroads in our lives, that we might decide, that we might choose this day to serve the Lord. And Lord, may we serve You the rest of our days with a perfect heart. I pray for these young people here this morning, these children, teenagers, God, that they would make that same commitment to You. Not to just conform, not to just get by, pretend to be spiritual, pretend to love and honor You and want to serve You, but in their hearts, turn away. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd help these young people, my children, the children of these other parents here in this building, Lord, this morning, that God, these children would grow up and that by watching our example, Lord, and seeing us serve You with a perfect heart and following You, Lord, and in the right way, Lord, because of our love for You, Lord, I pray that they would grow up and do the same. In Your name I pray and ask these things. Amen. Let's all stand this morning and we're going to sing a song in closing. Hymn 654. Hymn 654. If God has spoken to your heart this morning through the message, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. Thank you for listening so patiently. And we're just going to be a few more minutes. As we sing this short chorus, 654, change my heart, O God. I pray that this would be your prayer this morning. And the altar is open. The invitation to come has been given. Maybe you're here this morning and you can't serve God this morning with a perfect heart because your heart is not right with Him. You've never been saved. You've never been born again. If that's your case, I want to encourage you this morning to come forward and get that matter settled. Trust Christ as your Savior today. Get that decision done, taken care of. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Maybe there's somebody here this morning, a Christian, been coming to church a while. Maybe you've been doing right, but not with a perfect heart. Maybe it's time to get your heart right with God. The altar's open as we sing 654, Change My Heart, O God. Would you be sensitive to the Holy Spirit enough to come and pray? Smith, thank you for coming this morning. God bless you.